Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, Greg Pickle joins us. Greg, of course, part of that outstanding crew at On3.com and Blue White Illustrated. Greg, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. Good to be on with you and hope you all are doing well.
Well, everyone's been always waiting to see what happens in the transfer portal. Penn State already has an offensive lineman. Again, I'm still in the mode of they who cannot be named out by me until they actually get here. All these rules have been flushed down the drain, and I still have to follow these things, but I got to follow the rules. And then, of course, they were able to get to Maryland. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just clarify the one you can't say, but I certainly can, is Hunter Norzad, the offensive lineman from Cornell, right, who will be here a little bit later this year once he graduates. But, yeah, I mean, Penn State goes down to Maryland on Tuesday morning and gets Damian Robinson out of the transfer portal from the Terps. He was a former On3 consensus four-star recruit, 247 Sports had him as a five-star recruit, pretty much widely considered a top 100 player in the country in the class of 2021. And he committed to the Terps and spent a year there, played 13 games, started one. And then for whatever reason, about two and a half weeks ago, he decided that he wanted to jump into the transfer portal. And that coincided with Penn State certainly knowing it needed a defensive end and a rusher of the passer, and he came up for a trip to Penn State and apparently was very impressed by what he saw. And that was kind of that. Penn State able to close the deal on this one and steal a player from another Big Ten team, which doesn't happen often, but just goes to show you that the transfer portal has really opened up doors for not just programs to get players from schools that, you know, they probably would have been blocked from getting them out of before, but also for players that, you know, if you commit to a school and you play there a season and you don't feel like it's the right fit for you, you have the option to go somewhere else, of course. And if you're not a grad transfer, you have the one-time transfer exception. It'll make you immediately eligible. So, I mean, look, I think we have to be careful to make comparisons to anyone that's come before him at Penn State. And, of course, who I'm talking about is Arnold Ebiketie, because not every guy is going to come here and have the season that he did. And he, of course, had the production at Temple, whereas Robinson just played, you know, again, not a horrible first season by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly, you know, he wasn't putting up the kind of numbers that Ebiketie did at Temple prior to coming to Penn State. So I think we don't want to make that comparison too soon, but certainly if you're Penn State, you're thrilled about this one. Again, this is a former top 100 recruit, five-star talent that decided to, make jump ship in the Big Ten East after 1 year, and Penn State was certainly willing to welcome him with open arms. And he'll get up here in, what, about a month, 2 months' time, whatever it ends up being, and try and make a name for himself in a room that has some talent but also has some question marks.
Remember, though, Ebiketie also was an older player. He had a year remaining, as opposed to a young player who's only played 1 year.
Exactly, yeah, and that's where I think we have to be careful for one of many reasons, of course, but one of the reasons, anyway, to be careful about drawing that comparison. It's going to be hard not to for some, and it's going to be easy, kind of straight line to draw for others. But, yeah, ultimately, yeah, it was two totally different situations. You know, this is a guy who comes to Penn State with 4 years to play three, and, of course, you would never work under the assumption that he's going to redshirt at Penn State. But, yeah, it's a much different situation, but still a great get for Penn State. Just a guy who, you know, by and large, considered the Lions and many other powerful Power Five programs, rather, during the recruiting process. He, of course, really was hamstrung by being able to take visits, as every recruit was in that 2021 class because of the pandemic. And, you know, I don't think this is the last guy we see from that class end up in the portal. Now, look, some of it's not going to be in any way, shape, or form related to the lack of taking visits or things like that. But I think there's going to be, and I'm not saying this is the case here either. He has not yet talked publicly about his reason for leaving Maryland and so on and so forth. But, you know, again, those guys had a very unique recruitment compared to pretty much anyone that came before them. And so I think you'll see some of these guys who are only a year or two in the football maybe decide that they want to look somewhere else. And again, it doesn't have to be just this class. It will likely happen and will happen, certainly in many classes. But, you know, there's a lot to keep in mind, obviously, when these things happen.
So in the limited time you've been able to see some practice and then, of course, talk and listen to James after the Wednesday practices, what's the read you have so far?
Well, you know, spring practice is interesting, right? Because it's, hope springs eternal, no pun intended. But, you know, everything is on the right track and everything has gone good through winter workouts. And I mean, I think that certainly it sounds like they're happy with a couple of things. Obviously, Mike Yurcich talked, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago at this time, and basically said that, you know, another year of consistency, I think, is going to be big for everybody. And that's not just, you know, him. It's not just the quarterbacks. It's everyone, both the players and coaches, on that side of the ball. So, you know, I think that obviously they have some numbers issues up front on the offensive line this spring. James Franklin's talked about that on a couple of different occasions. So that's going to possibly make the blue-white game look different. And I'm sure it's made practices to some extent look different. But, you know, then with Manny Diaz on the other side of the ball, things seem to be going well there. He certainly is a very personable, very you can see when you watch him coach how he gets through to players, how he can relate to players, how well he does with communicating what he needs them to do, and certainly the rest of that defensive staff falls into that same boat as well. So, I mean, I'd say so far so good at this point. You know, obviously last spring, once spring ball was over, there were some things that happened away from the field or whatever that, you know, Penn State is in a better place now with, and I'm talking about Adisa Isaac and Sal Warmly both being back in action mm-hmm. after missing last season. But, you know, of course, just never know what's around the corner either. So time will tell. But, yeah, I mean, you hate to put too much stock into spring practice, right? Because mm-hmm. ultimately it's fundamentals and it's getting guys going again and introducing some guys to some things. But we've heard good news about Nick Singleton and Katron Allen and the quarterbacks and so on and so forth. Zane Durant, the list can go on and on. So, you know, you're not expecting to hear any bad news at this time, and if you do, that's obviously not a good sign. So I think if you're a Penn State fan, you should be pretty pleased about where things stand. There's progress being made, and more importantly, there's not really anything bad coming out that we know about so far.
Yeah, we were talking, I think you were talking with Zach a little bit about the timing of this. I've always said that there's certain times of the year that you're more vulnerable to transfers in and out, pros and cons. One of them is coming up, and that is at the end of the spring semester. Is that about how you look at it as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's interesting, though. It feels like we know so much about the transfer portal, but it's only been around now for a couple of years, 2 years. So
yeah.
I think we'll learn more information about it with each passing year. And, I mean, at this point, yeah, I would say that's the case. But, you know, ultimately, if a guy is going to be able to help you, even if he arrives closer to fall camp than you'd prefer, you know, you're not going to say no to that. And I think there's been some examples of that across the country where guys make decisions late. Now, I do believe, I don't have it in front of me, but I do believe there's a deadline of some sort where you at least need to be in the portal to be able to play in the upcoming season. But, yeah, I think that's the ideal timeline, Steve. But certainly I think when you look at all of the needs across college football, whether it's because of injury or whether it's because of medical retirement or whether it's just because of development, you know, guys not developing as fast as you like, you know, if you think you can find someone that can help you, even if it's late June or early July and you have a chance to make that happen, you know, you're going to try and do it. So, yeah, I think that's the ideal timeline. But really, you know, I think what we're learning about the portal is that nothing would be real surprising anymore about what these guys will do, you know, what programs will do, rather, to get a leg up or to make any kind of hole filled on the roster.
It's interesting you say that because this is a basketball example from years ago. But the number one recruit in the country that everybody had to have was a guy by the name of O.J. Mayo. And eventually Mayo ended up being a first-round pick in the NBA. You want to know when he let USC know he was coming? The night before the first class began. And they hadn't talked to him in months. He just called up and said, "I'll be there tomorrow." Who? What? So,
right.
So you don't know how some of these things work.
Right. Well, it's a great example. Yeah, it's a great example. You know, again, if you can make it work and you can get it to pass muster, you're going to do it. You know, it's obviously a situation where some programs might go to greater lengths than others. But, yeah, there's no question that if you can find a way to improve your team within the rules, and even if it's, again, not necessarily in the ideal timeline, you're certainly going to try and do everything you can to do it.
What's it been like for you putting together the position-by-position breakdowns that you've been doing on three?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing is that we've heard a lot about some players and not as much about others. And there's always, you know, there's sometimes red flags thrown without even realizing that that's what's going on. And what I mean by that is you might not include a guy in this or mention a guy as much in that. And it draws questions of, well, why isn't player X improving like this? Or why isn't player Y involved like that? And then the reality of it is, I mean, it just, It's the nature of spring, quite frankly. I mean, you're going to hear more about some guys, and some guys are going to pop out more than others, but it doesn't mean there's not the ones who aren't mentioned as much doing as much work behind the scenes to take the steps forward that they need to, both for their own careers and the team. You know, when you talk about a guy, well, really two guys who have been mentioned a lot. I mean, I think we've heard a ton so far about Nick Singleton, the running back, Gatorade National Player of the Year, and also Zane Durant, the defensive tackle. And that doesn't mean that Kevon Lee or Keziah Holmes or Keziah Izzard or Devon Ellis, you know, it doesn't mean these guys aren't having good springs. It's just that, you know, when these press conferences are, you know, 10 to 15 minutes long, you can only cover so much ground. Yeah. So that's probably the one thing I would say is that it's a balancing act between pointing out and highlighting the guys who have been highlighted while not glossing over and maybe minimizing the ones that are still out there doing the work that needs to be done for this Penn State team to be its best self in 2022.
Look, sometimes you fly through something. I sent Jack Ham an email on Sunday about, okay, you know, this is what's going on at the positions. And I forgot to include a player who's been having a really good spring and is going to play. And it's like, I just forgot him. Just because you're going through mentioning a whole bunch of names. Sometimes that happens. What about him? What about him?
Yep, and you can go round and round the circle with that, no question about it.
I mean, sometimes you just, like, you're throwing a bunch of names, you're concentrating on a few names, just forget to put one in. And everybody goes, what happened to him? Nothing. Calm down.
Right. He's still there and still working forward. That's right.
What's it like for you dealing with either message boards or Twitter? And how do you deal with it?
You know, I think most of it is compartmentalizing, right? I mean, I think for the most part, you're going to run into, and you know this, anyone that's on these platforms knows, that you're going to run into some negativity.
No, don't say you know, because I don't.
Right. Well, you know, you're going to run into some negativity, but I
really
think you have to keep in mind.
I'm stunned.
No doubt about it. Yeah, I imagine you are, even without being on those platforms. But no, I mean, I enjoy it. I think that the key for all of us is all of us that do this anyway, is interacting with the people who have a passion for this program, because their passion fuels what we do and vice versa. So, yeah. You know, I enjoy it. I think that, again, you're going to run into some instances of just things that you read and it kind of blows you away. You can't believe it. But I would say that they are the ones that are talked about the most, but far outnumbered by the more positive interactions you have with people. So, that's not the case for everyone. Look, you know, if you ever take a look at James Franklin's mentions, it's maybe a little bit skewed, depending on win or loss. But yeah, ultimately, I just think it's about, you know, compartmentalizing and going from there.
The negative stuff doesn't in the least bother me, and here's the reason why. Yeah, the last thing I want is apathy.
Right.
That's the last thing for anyone. Okay.
Yep.
If they are mad, right? You don't want to become one of the really neat sports. Hey, they won. That's really neat. Oh, they lost. Eh, that's too bad. You don't want to be that. Okay. You know?
No.
And there's certain sports around here where people get mad when it doesn't go right, and they get obviously euphoric when it does. And there's some that, no offense, do fall into the category of the really, yeah, it's really neat. They won. It's great. Yeah. So. All right. I always find that an interesting question, especially in this Twitter world and message board world. That's, you know, but again, I'd rather have the passion, because that's 100% better than apathy.
There is no doubt about that, Steve.
Thank you, Greg. Always appreciate you very much. You do great work.
Always a pleasure. Thanks. Talk to you soon.